In Exodus 20, verse 5, God says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. As no faithful husband is okay with his wife chasing other men, God is not okay with his people chasing other gods. He is jealous to have you all to himself, and even says, you shall have no other gods. This means we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, including money, possessions, and yes, even family. The new man in Christ, the new creation, possessing the Holy Spirit and faith, hears this and says, amen to this blessed word of God. But the new man in Christ, that new creation, also has a sinful nature that rages until death. This is what it means to live as saint and sinner. God's law that we love and we say amen to is also the law that reveals our inability to keep it. This is why we say the law always accuses. Our sinful flesh always has plenty to be accused of. Whenever I'm teaching chapel throughout the week, to impress that point on the little ones that the Ten Commandments are God's good and righteous law that both instruct and show our sin, all I have to do is quote to them the fourth commandment and then say, so how have you done with that commandment lately? Their faces tell all, and they usually get the point, because no adolescent perfectly loves parents and other authorities, just like no man perfectly loves God. Mankind, then, is in an inescapable situation. He cannot earn God's favor based on his fulfillment of the law, and so he must rely completely on salvation outside of his flesh. Thankfully, God has not left us to sin and despair, but he has given us freely salvation in the perfect person of Jesus, who has fulfilled the law's demands, and he even suffers under that law when he bears God's wrath for sin when hanging on the cross. Everything Jesus has accomplished by having nails driven into his hands and being thrust upon a Roman cross belongs to you by faith. Faith in the Son means faith in the Father, faith in the Holy Spirit, the one true God who puts his name on every adult and child brought to the font of holy baptism. Christ is always present there. He's always present in baptism, and he freely gives the baptized his perfect righteousness. This is what it's meant when we heard in Holy Scripture, all who have been baptized have put on Christ. The baptized have put on Christ. Your garment is Christ. Your sins are covered by Christ, all of them. Jesus has washed them away, and so you are forgiven. Forgiven by his saving work in death and resurrection. And he has made you his redeemed child, pure of sin, and even declared holy before his throne. You may not feel it, but God says it, and faith grabs it. Faith trusts in all of these promises, and they're yours even now. Even now you are holy in God's sight. Did you know that? Not because of your great deeds of righteousness, but because you have Christ in holy baptism. And you are holy because Jesus died to redeem you of sin, and he has washed away your filth and all of your dirt. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things, because he is your Redeemer, he is your Savior, and he has pulled you out of the pit of death and placed you on the foundation of his love and his mercy, the foundation of his mighty living word that does not deceive. A word by which God declares all of you justified, righteous for the sake of his Son, our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you and I both know people who reject all of that stuff. Sadly, reasons and excuses vary, but some have clever sounding arguments, and thus they make it appear as if their reason for disbelief is an intellectual one. But the real reason is they have no faith. They may pretend it's a rational argument keeping them from Jesus, but the reality is they are void of faith. What you do for these people is invite them to church. Invite them, urge them, and hope that they come. And by God's grace, and the power of his Spirit always working through his word, we hope and pray that they hear God's word that does reduce us to ashes, and they say, you know what? I really do need help. I'm not as strong as I think. I really am a sinner, and I need salvation. And along with that, we should also hope and pray that they hear God's gospel, the good news of mercy and forgiveness that is always ours freely in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who has died to give you peace with God and eternal salvation that not even the devil can snatch away from the baptized faithful. Faith says amen to all of this, even if to the intellect it seems a little too good to be true. Or you may think of it this way. Faith says amen to the blessed good word of God, even if the world is falling apart around us and our lives are filled with pain and even a lot of misery. This brings us to the Old Testament lesson this morning, the story of Ruth. Naomi leaves Bethlehem with a husband and two sons. In roughly 10 years, that's all gone. Death has swallowed her husband and her two sons, and she is left living in a foreign country with Moabite daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. For Naomi, life is bitter, and she wants to go back to Bethlehem. And she encourages strongly her daughter-in-laws to stay in Moab. Go back to your homes. Worship your gods. I have nothing to give you. Naomi even says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Her life is one of sadness, friends, misery. And she believes it's because the Lord has withdrawn his favor. Now, the reader of Holy Writ, we can always see how the story ends. We know how it turns out. Naomi could not see into the future. She couldn't see that her sadness would turn to joy. She couldn't see that Ruth would marry a guy named Boaz, and they would have a son who would be the grandfather of a guy named David. Naomi, in her sadness, didn't know that Ruth would be part of the very lineage leading to the birth of Jesus. And what's really amazing in the account we heard from the book of Ruth is, despite all the terrible suffering of Naomi, Ruth still clings to her, doesn't she? Orpah goes back to her gods. Ruth does not. Ruth stays with Naomi, and Ruth worships the one true God. Why? Because Ruth had the gift of faith. She had the gift of faith to know and believe in the one true God, even in the midst of great suffering, and she clings to her beloved mother-in-law. This is somewhat similar to the story of the 10 lepers that we hear in the gospel lesson. All 10 are healed by Jesus, aren't they? And the Lord tells them to go show themselves to the priests in keeping with the Mosaic law. But there is one who turns and gives thanks to God, and he is a Samaritan. He's a Samaritan, and Jesus calls him a foreigner. But like Ruth the Moabite, here the Samaritan gets it. He sees God and he believes in God. He believes and sees God in Jesus, and he glorifies Jesus, something the other nine miss. They all had healing. But the question is, did they have saving faith? And that's a very different question. The Samaritan, the foreigner, displays his faith. He gives praise to God as he falls at the feet of Jesus. And he hears the Lord's words, "Rise, rise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." My friends, this is much more than Jesus saying your faith has given you physical healing. A literal translation of that phrase is, "Go, your faith has saved you." The wellness that the Lord Jesus gives them isn't just physical, but certainly spiritual as well. He is absolved of sin. And so the leper has much more than fresh skin and a new outlook on life. He had eternal life because he had faith in Jesus. He now had life in heaven. Life in heaven through Jesus. Life in heaven where no sickness, no disease exists. And God is always pointing us to these heavenly things. He beckons us to believe in him and receive bountifully the heavenly treasures that rust and moss will not destroy. He gives you forgiveness, and he has cleansed you of your sin. And by his cross and blood, my friends, heaven is yours, as is the unfading crown of glory. Look to these things, especially, dear friends, as you suffer trials and distress. God did take Naomi and Ruth through the storms of this life, and he will do the same to you. It may be at death. It may be at death. But he will do it. He will take you to himself. I conclude with this. Living by faith is trusting in the living word of God. It is life trusting in Jesus to make good on what he has promised. When you suffer like Naomi, or maybe you go through intense, horrible bodily suffering like the leper, to our senses it does seem as if God is very much against us. Yet I remind you that God's love for you, dear Christian friend, cannot be judged by your surroundings and circumstances. God's love for you, a love we cannot fathom, cannot be judged based on the amount of pleasure you may or you may not have. God's love for you is always expressed and manifested in the person of Jesus. You want to see God's love for you? Look at Christ hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying for you. Look at Jesus at the cross and hear his words when he says, "It is finished. Redemption for you is finished." The story of Ruth points us to Jesus. The very last word in the book of Ruth is the word David. And Jesus is the son of David. He is called the son of David. His earthly lineage leads back to David. The leper saw God in Jesus. His faith clung to Christ. And he got to hear words of absolution from our Lord Jesus, who said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Friends, God's love for you is in his son, who willingly assumed your sin and paid the ultimate price for that sin in full. This belongs to you not by your labors and your works. It's much better than that. But this is yours by faith. And so go in peace. Go in peace. God's peace, yours in Jesus. Your faith in Christ has already made you well. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, from now unto life everlasting. Amen.